from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is a Thursday here on Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester alongside you. Jad Chambers producing. Jad Chambers in charge of that IHOP hotline at 869-1240. Coming up on the show today on that IHOP hotline, we will get you fully covered on Big 12 Media Days. We'll have Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, GoPowerCat.com, joining us with what he's learned. We'll also check back in with Brandon Zinner, who's out there for 12 News. He talked with KU extensively yesterday, one-on-one with Jalen Daniels, had a chance to talk to Lance Leipold, had a chance to talk to Deion Sanders about Dylan Edwards, all kinds of good stuff. So we'll check in from Brandon. We'll try and connect with him on his connecting flight as he's traveling home today. You can find all his fun work and great work, by the way, on X at KWCH, Brandon at KWCH.com. Speaking of KWCH, we are in, day four here of our new simulcast partnership with 12 News, 12 News Connected. You can find that at KWCH.com. You might have seen the push alerts. Whatever it is, however it is that you take us in, that way, KFH over the airwaves, of course, the Odyssey app, Facebook, YouTube, X, whatever it is, we're glad you are with us this morning. So thank you for that. And we'll have something for you. We'll give away two prizes today. We'll give away some NBC World Series tickets, and we will give away some HTO iced tea and free rain coffee. Welcome in, everybody. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be here today. Happy Thursday. Fun to watch a little doubleheader baseball yesterday for the Royals.
Heck, yeah.
And, you know, that was fun. It, you know, kind of got a double dose after the rainout on Tuesday. And really, you know, couldn't have worked out any better for Kansas City. So looking forward to get into it today.
We felt a little bit of doom and gloom there in game one until that, you know, big Salvador Perez home run. It was like, oh, no, we can't keep going. And what's happening, I think, is that the offense is waking up. We've now come to the conclusion that this is going to be a very streaky team. Not a bad thing, right? You got to ride those low waves, though. Streaky team won the World Series last year. I say it all the time. They got hot at the right time, and they became a juggernaut in the postseason. There was not a perfect season for last year's World Series champion, but they were streaky, and it timed out well. Hopefully, the same thing can be true for the Royals. They're very streaky. And hopefully the end of that, you know, downward streak now is in the last several games. They've sort of exploded and woken up offensively two games on the road against that franchise historically, and just this year, that's, you know, one of the hotter teams in baseball, feels like a pretty big deal. I know it means a lot to Royals fans. I know it does. The big brother aspect of the I-70 series. Totally get it. Just for this year, though, throwing that all aside, it could have a big impact on decisions that the Royals make. It certainly had a big impact on the standings. The White Sox got one from the Twins yesterday, did the Royals a favor. So now in the wild card, just a half game back of Boston, two games back of Minnesota. And so, you know, Boston sits there. That's what's next. You get a day off today. You get your top three pitchers in the rotation riding a three-game win streak, and you can flip that upside down real quick and in a hurry because Houston's right on your tail. Houston's won 7 out of their last 10. The Rangers have won 7 out of their last 10. They're not there yet, but they could be. There's all kinds of things still happening underneath the Royals, so hopefully this is the start of a big trend, and we'll get more into that game specifically, those games, I should say, specifically, and look ahead to that Boston series as we make our way through. We'll also take you through the nuggets of Big 12 Media Day yesterday. We'll certainly get into KU, some of the things they had to say. Jalen Daniels out there, front and center, having fun. We get Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark playing together in a WNBA All-Star game. There's all kinds of good stuff to talk about today, Tommy. I think we'd be remiss if, you know, we didn't start with college football, though. KU yesterday. I mean, what are your big takeaways? I have one storyline to follow, basically, for KU, and I know that's naive and ridiculous, but it really is, for me, just, is Jalen Daniels healthy, and will he be out there this year? That's really, like, all I'm following with them. Shame on me, but it is. I mean, it sort of rides all on that, and that's a dangerous proposition because we've seen how that's gone the last 2 years. But it just, like, it keeps making me wonder, what are the chances that he's just healthy for a full season? I think they're low.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the difference between last year and this year going into it is that the stakes are going to be higher, I think, for Jalen Daniels to be healthier this year than last year because – you know, KU had the best, probably the best backup quarterback in the country in Jason Bean. And, you know, he was able to step in when Jalen Daniels went down with the injury. And, you know, of course, Bean kind of got banged up a little bit too. And then you had Chris Ballard Cole Ballard come in. Chris is his dad. But Cole Ballard come in and, you know, play some quarterback as well. And he'll still be on the roster to back up Jalen Daniels this year. But you lose Jason Bean. So the stakes are higher, you know, for Jalen Daniels to stay healthy this season. The Jayhawks were able to still make a bowl game, you know, last year, you know, even with Jalen Daniels not being able to finish the entire season because they had Jason Bean. They won't have that luxury this year. But, you know, I'm not willing to say at this point that the chances are low that Jalen Daniels plays an entire season healthy because, you know, assuming that he's healed up from what ailed him last year with his back, then at that point, you've kind of got a fresh start, a fresh slate on things. And I'm not willing to say that, yeah, I think it's going to be likely that he goes out with an injury this year. I just,
But how can we assume that he will be there when he hasn't been there and it's a back injury? That's my thing. I hope.
Yeah, but we're months removed from, you know, him being injured with that back injury. Like we're a long ways away from that. You know,
It'd be one thing if that was the only thing, but he's had a lot of injuries pile up on him now. And I think that for a guy that runs, it's a concern. I think it's a big concern. I will say, I like Cole Ballard. From what I saw, I like him quite a bit. And I very much think he could just be the next in line. So will he give them what Jason Bean was able to with all that experience last year? I don't know. But I think, you know, as a passer, his upside's probably higher than Jason Bean's was. So here's what I mean by all of this. KU, if Jalen Daniels misses time, hopefully he does not. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not like predicting he does. I'm just trying to get a realistic grasp of it because I think, I mean, you people that listen to this show know what I think of. I think they could contend for a CFP spot if he's healthy. You know, it's what if he's not, which history tells us is more likely than not likely. What if he's not? Then what? And that's what I'm trying to get a good grasp of. And that's why these, you know, these media days are important. And, you know, the people that really follow the rest of the roster and the transfer portal news and all of these things get really interesting is because what does this team look like if he does miss time? Are they still good enough to compete for a Big 12 title? They may very well be. I just haven't been able to focus on anything else besides Jalen Daniels and whether he'll play or not, because I think he's Heisman good if he does. And I don't know how good they can be with Cole Ballard. I think they can be as good as they were last year. How about that? I think they can go to a bowl game and then win a bowl game. A good bowl game. But can they win the Big 12? Can they go to the CFP?
I'm not going to have this conversation. I'm not going to start talking about the likelihood of Cole Ballard.
You're not going to have the conversation.
I'm not going to have the conversation of talking about, is Cole Ballard going to be able to lead the Jayhawks to potentially win the conference? Jalen Daniels, by all accounts, is healthy. And so I'm not going to go and
by all accounts, Jalen Daniels was healthy going into last season, and we know that wasn't true.
But this is a new season. It's a new season. You know, like, I'm not – how many professional athletes or even college athletes – do you look at, and, you know, they've had injuries in the past, and you look at them and you say, yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to get through this season. We don't know that. We don't have any proof of that. Like, I don't think that's an accurate take. I'm willing to turn the page on last year and maybe even the year before and say, you know what, by all accounts, Jalen Daniels is healthy going into this season. So until or unless he gets injured and is out, then I'm going to just roll with him and expect that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the duration of the season for KU.
He's never played more than 9 games in a season. I don't want this to be turned into, I hope Jalen Daniels doesn't get hurt. I hope he's completely healthy. But just like last year when we started to hear rumblings that it was a back injury, I have concern about a back injury. They're hard to recover from. And especially hard when it's a quarterback that relies on athleticism and explosiveness and all these things. And I do think it's completely reasonable to wonder about, if he misses time, what does the team look like? Because he's missed time every season. And we knew last year if he missed time, it would be Jason.
You can wonder about it. That's fine. But what I'm not going to do is set expectations for this team based on Cole Ballard starting at quarterback, because he's not the starting quarterback.
That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying, how good is the rest of the team if he has to start games? That's what I'm saying. I don't know because I can't.
How good is the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs if Carson Wentz has to start games this season?
Not,
you know,
good.
What I mean?
We know that answer. Not good at all.
But we wouldn't sit there and have that conversation like before the season starts. Like, well, will they be able to repeat as Super Bowl champions if Carson Wentz has to? Like, that's a ridiculous conversation to have, because Patrick Mahomes is the starting quarterback.
We have conversations about backup quarterbacks all the time. I think you're being a little sensitive. Like, I'm attacking Jalen Daniels. I'm just willing to give
him the benefit of the doubt on, you know, this coming season, that he's healthy and that he's going to be the starting quarterback until he's not.
I know he's going to be the starting quarterback. I know he is. He's been the starting quarterback going into the last 2 seasons. He hasn't finished either of them. So I think it's fine to wonder, A, where is Cole Ballard in his development? Because they may lean on him this year. They may need to. But the point of any of this wasn't about going down to Jalen Daniels' rabbit hole. For me, it's about, what does the rest of the roster look like? Because they've lost a lot of good pieces too, just like K-State. We wonder these things, right? And the depth is going to matter probably in a Big 12 where there's seemingly a lot of good quarterbacks in play. And so Jalen Daniels is one of several, right? We know everybody loves the UCF quarterback. We know everybody's talked about Utah, but we have these conversations about Utah. Yeah, they're great if they have their starting quarterback. He's been hurt a lot. How is he, 25 years old? So I think it's fine to wonder these things, but we'll get with Brandon Zinner about that. He talked to Jalen Daniels. We ran his one-on-one conversation. I would say, you know, body language, all of that stuff makes you feel good if you're a KU fan. He's bouncing around a little bit. He's there front-facing. That, I think, is important. What did Lance Leipold have to say about it? We'll get with Brandon about all of that stuff. But it is the number one storyline for KU football. I don't think there's any question. It's Jalen Daniels. He's a Heisman guy. He's incredible when he's out there. Can he be out there? We'll see what the conversation was like out there on that yesterday. Prime was out there yesterday. I want to talk about some of what he had to say. He takes the big stage. He was certainly glowing on Brett Yormark. And was he, and this will be a tease for you, Tommy, and everyone out there, was he trying to make excuses before the season even starts? I've seen some of that chatter. I'm curious to see what you think on that. 869-1240, let us know what you think about, well, whatever. Here we go, Royals fans, you're on a win streak. Here we go, college football fans. Can we get to the start of the season, please? KU, K-State's going to be incredible. We'll do it all. Your comments on all the video streams. We'll give away some prizes throughout the show as well. By the way, we've been talking football. Football coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We'll be right back. It's all Brockton Caster. More Sports Daily coming right up. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Want to win some HTO, free iced tea, and free rain coffee? All you got to do right now is text the keyword T-T-E-A to the short code 20357. That's T-20357. Get you a free iced tea, a free rain coffee, one of each. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once per day on this contest. Message and data rates apply. Deion Sanders gets his debut in the Big 12. I thought, Tommy, he was going to get all the attention. He got a lot of it, and he was prime. And he's out there front facing. And here we go with the Buffaloes. What'd you think of Prime out there at that first look?
Well, you know, he did mention, I think the thing that really made the biggest headlines was that he said that he's being judged on a different scale than everybody else. I don't know if I fully believe that, but that's what his perception is. You know, and he says that, you know, his wins are totally different than everybody else's wins. And I don't know if that's really, I don't know if that's really accurate, because a win is a win is a win, in my opinion. And I get it that there's going to be more attention on him. There has been ever since he entered the coaching ranks. You know, they went, 4-8 last year, Colorado did. So I feel like I judge that accurately. I feel like I judge that appropriately, that they were 4-8. They were not a particularly good football team. They got a lot of attention, and rightfully so, at the beginning of the year. They had some pretty high-profile wins early on, and then they kind of got figured out a little bit, and things fell apart from there for Colorado. I think that's judging it appropriately. I don't think that he's being judged on a different scale, but that's going to be the thing, and it already is the thing that has gotten the most headlines from what he said at Media Days.
So I do think he's judged on a different scale. I agree with him there. I'm going to read something else he said, though, because I think people take it as he's trying to set, you know, like lower expectations and wins and losses. But here's what else he had to say. My wins are totally different than your wins. He's talking to a member of the media here. Your wins are judged on football. The expectation's greater, but it's not just football. It's been like that my life. I've always had a greater expectation for myself. I don't think that should surprise anybody. He's always made this more about, and he said these things, like making these kids great as he can, being a role model, doing all those things, of which he has been a good one, at least as a coach, certainly forever. So I think his wins are different. I think he's right about that, and I do think he's judged on a different scale because he has set a different scale for himself, right? I mean, there is. It's sort of like Caitlin Clark, right? Like, Caitlin Clark is the fascination. Is she the best player? Those things, no, they're not exclusive to each other. She's the most interesting. She's what people want to talk about. She's not yet the best player, right? Both things can exist at the same time. Colorado's not the best team, yet they're the team people want to talk about and will pay attention to. I don't think that's untrue. I think it's true. The bar is a little bit higher for, you know, what Deion Sanders does this year versus what UCF does this year. Like, it just is. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's a fact. Rick asks, what is the Deion fascination? Nobody cares about him. Man, Rick, you've been kind of a Karen this week, I got to say. Like a little negativity from Rick this week. What is the Deion fascination? Everybody cares about him, Rick. I don't think that's true at all. Everybody cares about Prime. It was the most interesting story in college football last year when they got off to the hot start. And guess what? When they didn't keep winning games, it wasn't nearly as interesting. That's the key here. Like, yeah, it can be about the, you know, the showmanship, which has always been prime. I mean, come on now. And I said this last year. It's my, like, everybody's grandma loves Deion Sanders, right? If you go back to as a player, whatever, he's fun. Like, he's contagious. His energy is contagious. Now it has to translate into wins. I quite frankly, Tommy, I think it was pretty remarkable what they did last year based on what we saw the year before. Now, is that where they want to be long term? Of course not. No chance. They want to compete for championships. But when you think about what they were 2 years ago to what they accomplished last year, I thought those were big steps. I don't think there's a coach in America that could have done a better job at Colorado after 2 years ago than what Prime did last year. I just don't think there is. Now he's got to take the next step forward, though. Is he making excuses if it doesn't come and they don't win a Big 12 title this year? I don't think so. But I think, you know, if they win four games again this year, he's going to feel the heat, and he should. Like, they got to get better now.
I think one of the major issues with Prime, and part of the reason why there is, you know, maybe this added pressure, and part of the reason why there is a lot of attention on him and his program, yeah, the showmanship and everything we know about Prime it has a lot to do with it. But it's also the manner in which he came to Colorado, you know, and dropping all the players or most of the players from the roster, telling them to pack their bags and, you know, all of that. That shook up a lot of people. And I think that there was a pretty decent portion of the population that at that time when that happened, maybe started to root a little bit for Deion's downfall. Just in the way that that entire situation was handled. And so when they went 3-0 to start the year, you know, and had those big upset wins and, you know, game day was there and they had all of this excitement, the celebrities on the sidelines, all of that, you know, that was great. And then quickly the bottom fell out. And I think at the end of last season, I know I had this thought, I'm sure other people did too. Maybe, you know, was it the best decision to part ways with all these different players that he parted ways with? And I know Colorado was not good. I mean, they were worse before he got there. Like, they were really bad before Deion got there. You know, so it's not like those players that he dismissed in a lot of cases were really producing at a high level. But still, the way in which he did it, the cameras, you know, all of that, I think it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, and it maybe started, you know, to have people root for his downfall. Now we're in a situation where you're entering in year number two. There's another big roster overhaul, and, you know, outside of, like, some of the premier players like his son at quarterback, you got a lot of new faces on that roster. And will that translate into more wins than last year? That's going to be the major question that Prime is going to have to face.
It is, and we are fascinated it. And Rick, we love you, and I agree to some level that, like, what is the fascination? Sometimes you can't define it. Like, it just is interesting. Like, what is the fascination? Why has Caitlin Clark captivated the nation the way she has? There have been great players for years and years and years. I don't know. Why did Johnny Manziel captivate us in college football when he was there? We've seen great players for years and years and years. He didn't win any championships. I don't know. But it is what it is. And here we are. And I'm glad he's in the Big 12, quite frankly. So right now, Colorado's win total, according to ESPN Bet, 5.5. So 6 wins, 5 to 6 wins is the expectation. An improvement from a year ago. But is that good enough? For comparison's sake, KU, 8.5. K-State, 9.5. Neither of those bets I would touch, by the way. Those are high. It makes me excited that they're that high, but man, those are high. But let's look at Colorado's schedule here. So outside of their Big 12 games, they play North Dakota State, they play Nebraska, and they play Colorado State. Not an easy non-con. In fact, it's a pretty difficult non-con. In the Big 12, Baylor, on the road, Central Florida, at home Kansas State, at Arizona, at home Cincinnati, at Texas Tech, at home Utah, at Kansas, at home Oklahoma State. Their Big 12 schedule, Tommy, is brutal. Brutal. You're looking at the teams that got first place votes. Kansas State, Arizona, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. They get all of them. All of them. Look at Kansas, for instance. I think they get one, Kansas State. That's it. We need to talk at some point about KU's schedule. It's advantageous. But that's So we're looking at this season, and that's what I think maybe people are wondering, is he setting it up? Because they play all the best teams in the league. They don't play any bad teams at Baylor. You could make a case for Baylor, I suppose. And then you've got Nebraska on the road in the non-con, North Dakota State. We know all about North Dakota State in a rivalry game. I don't think they're getting over 5.5 wins this year. I don't think there's any chance. And so, like, what does that mean for what this season is? I think what has to happen for him to for the narrative to be that it was a fine season, I don't think they're getting the 6 wins. I can't see it. But I do think if they can get close and then they're, let's just call it, a better team and more competitive in all those Big 12 games, I think it'll still feel better. And then the next year, that seat, well, it's not going to be hot because of the attention and everything he's brought to Colorado, but from a wins and losses perspective, it would be hot at that point. I mean, can you see 6 wins out of this schedule? Their schedule is terrible.
Yeah, it's tough. And it's kind of like, hey, welcome to the Big 12. Welcome to this new conference. Welcome to, how things are going to be a little bit different, for you this year. And it's not like for Colorado that the, last year in the Pac-12 was a cakewalk. They went 1-8 to finish out their season in Pac-12
right.
play. So it wasn't a cakewalk for them, but you're talking about teams that they played last season that, I think a lot of them, I'm not sure you can compare or hold a candle to the competition that they're going to be facing in the Big 12. Is it the SEC? No, it's not. But, I do think it's going to be a step up, at least competition-wise, from who they faced a year ago. And then you even go back a couple of years ago when they were still in the Pac-12. And I think didn't they finish that season 1-11, playing yeah. Pac-12 teams? So not only are you, you've not had success in your former conference in the last couple of seasons, but now you're entering into a conference that I think is objectively better than where you're leaving. So that's going to be a big part of it too. I have a hard time, kind of like you, I have a hard time finding those wins.
Yeah. And, I don't know that, I also don't know that the Pac-12 was really, really good last year. So I don't want to take away from the Pac-12 last year. It was outstanding. But so again, like they play all of the teams, all of them who got first place votes. Colorado does. Let's look at Kansas's schedule. We know they'll play Kansas State. That's it. Of the teams that got first place votes, Tommy. Colorado plays no teams outside of Baylor. They get one of the bottom 7 teams in the league. One. And this is preseason predictive, and I know that, and who knows if that holds true. But just to give you some idea, one, okay? So then you go look at Kansas's schedule. Of the bottom 7 teams, and where is West Virginia? West Virginia is not in there, but they get TCU, Arizona State, Houston, BYU, I think, is down there. It is. And Baylor. How many is that? 5?
Yeah.
They get 5 of the bottom 7 teams. So, like, the schedule matters. And, man, does it matter now that it's not round robin. You know what I mean? Like, and for Kansas, it's less important because Kansas feels like they can beat anybody. If they're healthy, Kansas feels like they can beat anybody anytime. And they can. Kansas State's the same way. So we look at those things a little bit less. We probably should look at it more. In Kansas State, for instance, they got to play Arizona. They got to play Oklahoma State. They got to play Kansas. Theirs is somewhere in between. It's not as daunting as Colorado's, but it's not as seemingly soft as Kansas's. And again, save it on we haven't seen these teams play. I know we haven't, and that could get turned upside down. Every team in the league is pretty good this year. It's just, when we talk about these expectations for Colorado and we see a win total of 5.5, by the way, the under 5.5 right now is plus money. So if you don't think they're going to win 6 games, I do not. You can get that at plus money right now. I don't like futures bets. They take too long like that for plus 110. Like, yeah, I'm not going to wait a whole season to see if that bet pays off. But just to give you some idea, people are betting on Prime. I don't know how you can do that. I do think they'll be better than they were a year ago, but I don't think it's going to lead to 6 wins. I just don't. They don't play enough non-conference games.
So if they're better than last year, but they're not going to hit 6 wins, they're going to win 5. right? Is that kind of what I mean?
Well, I know, and that's where the win
last year, but they're not going to get to
that's
six.
That's where the wins. Let me ask you this then. Will they win more than one conference game? I would say there's a decent chance.
Yeah,
of
I mean, I think, and that's I bet they'll win two. Looking at their schedule, I can see two.
But that's what gets really interesting. I think they can be better and not win a whole lot more games. And I don't think Prime was trying to make that excuse, but I do think that's reality. I think if they and listen, here's the other thing, and I know this, and you don't have to like pull up the audio. We've said that if all goes well for Colorado, they could potentially be talented enough to make a run at the title. I still think that's true too. I think it's unlikely, but I think it's true. I think they've got the number one NFL draft pick, most likely, on their roster at the most important position. I think they have a Heisman candidate, another one that plays two different positions, one on offense and one on defense, and they did lose a lot, but they also added more talent than they had a year ago, I think, overall. They're a total wild card in all of this. I don't think they're getting to six wins, but I think they could get to 10 if all went well. It's I don't know, like, their floor and their ceiling is as wide as any I can remember, right? Like, if you're thinking best case scenario and worst case scenario with a team, just look at the Big 12 and think of best case, worst case. There's no way there's a team with a wider gap on that, right? Like, it's just so wide to me. Like, the possibility of outcomes here, which is going to make them must-see TV for at least, you know, the first half of the season probably, because I'll bet you they'll lose a game where you're like, how on earth did they lose that game? And they'll win a game against a team that you that will stun us, just like they did last year.
Man, I sure hope that Jazz got the record button going and that we can save that clip of you saying that Colorado can win 10 games. Because I want to put that in, you know, in my back pocket and pull that out. You know?
Yeah, you're going to need to listen to what I'm actually saying.
I know what you're saying.
I don't think they're going to win 6 games.
You just said you don't think they're going to win 6 games, but they could win 10. That's what the words you just used.
I think their upside is as high as that. I do. I think, you know, I think Kansas State's upside is high enough to win a national championship. Do I think that they're going to win a national championship? I don't. I think Kansas is high enough to make a college football playoff. Do I think they will? I don't know about that.
I think Colorado's ceiling is lower than 10 wins. I don't think they're going to win 6. I think maybe their ceiling is like maybe 7, you know, or I don't see them winning 10 games, you know, so even if they do get that over 5.5 number, I don't think they're coming. I mean, just look at their schedule. I don't think they're coming anywhere, you know, close to that unless the only way they would, I don't even think that it's going to be, you know, let's just say all the stars align and they win 10 games this year. I don't think that's going to be just because Colorado is surprisingly good. I think it would also have to be that the Big 12 is surprisingly bad. Like, it would have to be both of those
that
things.
That could be true.
The Big 12 would
that
have to underachieve, true. And Colorado would have to majorly overachieve for that to even come close to happening.
What you would have to have is the work in the offseason. So many of those, sort of like what TCU did, right? Everybody would have called us crazy if you'd have said TCU was going to make a national championship game. They just hit on a ton of transfer players. So, and Colorado has more transfer players than anybody in the country. If they hit on a ton of those, I mean, you know, like that's what there's just like the gap is just wider to me. And again, I don't think they're going to win 6 because I think their schedule's too hard. But I hope they're good and I hope they're competitive because, man, they're interesting. And that's on Prime. And you know, he owns it and he faces it and we'll see how it works. I wish, don't you wish they were playing K-State? Oh, they are playing K-State. They're playing them on October 12th. Don't you wish that was in Manhattan, though? I don't know. Maybe it's better that it's in Colorado. I'm talking about the Dylan Edwards aspect of it, by the way. Like, that's going to be pretty interesting to watch.
Well, and I know. Yeah, I was about to say that Prime is coming to Lawrence, but he's not. He's going to be at Arrowhead. That's where that game is going to be played at.
Because of the stadium renovation
and all of that. So he won't. Obviously, there won't be any games in Lawrence this year, but yeah, we'll get to see you know, Prime and the Buffaloes inside Arrowhead, which will be interesting.
We'll ask Brandon. I know he asked some of those Colorado guys about Dylan Edwards, so we'll get those thoughts as we make our way through the program as well. We got Tim Fitzgerald coming up to talk K-State. Top of the hour, we'll talk to Brandon about what he learned about KU. That is about halfway through next hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Want to tell you that we appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee here, mornings at KFH, always keeping us fueled up with some great coffee there at the studios. We're going to come back more on Sports Daily. We got college football talk. We got Major League Baseball talk. It's July 11th, and what a blast it's going to be. We'll hit it all on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Six 9 1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
On your way to work and want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app or visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download the Odyssey app today to get started. You can also use that Odyssey app to listen to Royals baseball, but not today, because they're not on today. It's a day off after a doubleheader sweep yesterday. Salvador Perez, a home run in each of the two sixth innings. He's heating up. Royals offense is heating up overall, just in time, because they're about to play some really critical games against the Boston Red Sox starting tomorrow. We look at that, Tommy, yesterday. There's nothing that's going to change, I don't think, outside of something absolutely catastrophic over the next 20 days to make this must-see TV, interesting, following every trade rumor, like all of it. It is so nice to be back in this sort of mix. But here we go with Royals baseball. That I know that has historical, you know, value to Royals fans to beat that team that way in a doubleheader. But even more than that, it just had to happen because they kept losing ground, and now they're right back in the mix with a chance to do something against Boston and get themselves back into the playoffs.
I think the most important thing about the two games yesterday is what has been the overall Achilles heel for the Royals this season. It's been games on the road, right? Like, if you want to look at it overall, like, yeah, there are holes in the team and, you know, they've got issues, all these different things we've talked about. But overall, the biggest issue when you look at their record is their record on the road. They are one of the best teams in baseball at home, one of the worst teams in baseball on the road. So for them to go to St. Louis, have to deal with the rainout on Tuesday, then play back-to-back games on Wednesday, you're basically playing games in one day in St. Louis. It was just a two-game set crammed into one day back-to-back games with a couple of pitchers that, you know, they're not your aces. Michael Wacha, you know, it has been good, but he wasn't great yesterday. You know, and then same thing with Alec Marsh. You know, they're not your aces. They're not the top of the rotation, and you're on the road, and you win both of those games. I think it tells you a lot about the team and the way that they're, you know, they've got that fight in them to continue to try to gain ground, you know, and whether we're talking about just the wild card or even the division, which is probably out of reach at this point, but there's still a lot of baseball left. You know, they could easily just pack it in and say, we're not a great road team. And so, you know, at the very, you know, very most, like, let's try to get a split, you know, in this doubleheader. They win both of those games. And so, again, I think it tells you quite a bit about Kansas City, and I think it leads you into, you know, feeling pretty good about them in this pretty critical series against Boston.
I think the way that they won them matters, sort of a comeback in the first game and then not letting it unravel when it looked so many times in the second game like it might.
That's on the offense, too, in this, especially the second game. I mean, how many innings were there where the Royals would jump out to a 2 or 3 run lead, and then the very next half inning the Cardinals would cut into it? And then the offense would get another run or two and then kind of extend that lead a little bit more. Like, the offense really, I don't want to say they bailed out the pitching. Pitching wasn't great last night in the nightcap, but it wasn't amazing. But the offense continued to, you know, keep the Cardinals at bay and not allow them to get back into the game, which was great.
Yeah, and I think it's too, the offense doing that is, you mentioned the road has been the story of their struggles. It's really been the offense on the road, if you want to get even more specific. Their offense on the road has really let them down. Last three road games, 3 wins. They're averaging 8 runs a game, 24 runs over those 3 games. Now, in those first 2 games against Colorado, in a place where you should score tons of runs, they did not, a combined 3. So that's what I mean. Like, is you know, the game against Colorado on, what was that, Sunday? Is Sunday's Colorado game that linchpin moment? Because it could be when you're talking about a streaky team like this. And if it is, and they can stay hot here, you get 3 games on the road, okay, against Boston, which we don't have to tell you why those are so important, but they are. You get 3 of those on the road with your 3 aces on the mound. Maybe the offense is on a bit of a hot streak. Then you get the All-Star break, a real chance to dig in for the front office. And then you come out of it, and Tommy, your next stretch of games, at home, White Sox, at home, Diamondbacks, at home, Cubs. Then you go on the road, but it's for the White Sox and the Tigers. Like, that, you're talking about a stretch of games there. The next, what is that, 19 games? They could really their eyes should be enormous after the All-Star break if they can hold court here against Boston and try and at least win that series. Now you're cooking. And that's what, you know, when we do these things and we talk about all the different reasons why it might be out of reach for the Royals to make the playoffs and the metrics don't like them and, you know, there's just too many good teams in the mix. Yeah, but they're about to hit a part of the schedule. These are the things that I think sometimes get missed in those analytics or odds or anything. Who they play over a course of time, they've played a pretty tough schedule. You know, they haven't had a lot of decent stretches in it lately. And streaky. How do you take a quantitative approach to streaky? But we all know it exists. They're a streaky team. You can see it. We can see it. Look at the last 3 games. Here we go. If they can hit the streak at the right time against bad opponents, you go through a 19-game stretch like that, and maybe they win 14 or 15 of those games. You know what I mean? I think that's a thing that this particular team is capable of, and that's why your eyes have to stay on the prize and stay big at the deadline when you think about improving the team.
Yeah, go all the way back to the very beginning of the season. You know, you said that they played a tough schedule. I would agree with that, except for the very beginning of the season. They
right.
they got out of the gate with a fairly yep. easy schedule, and they were streaky good to start off the year against bad opponents. And that allowed them, that kind of propelled them, you know, to have this winning record before kind of the tougher games set in for the Royals. And so you're getting into this other stretch. And we've done this a few different times throughout the season where you break it up into chunks, you know. And so you've got this three-game road set this weekend against the Red Sox. You mentioned the All-Star break, but then the 19 games after that, and you break it into like the next 19-game chunk, you know, and what's the win-loss record in that chunk? They're back to 8 games over 500 going into this weekend set against Boston. They can take 2 of 3 if they can enter the All-Star break, you know, and if they do take 2 of 3 at that point, they're back in the wild. They're going to have a wild card spot by the time the All-Star break hits. I think you feel pretty good about that, knowing then what your opponents look like once the All-Star break is done.
So 19 would be when you get back into it. So let's take it 16, because then you get the Boston series. Let's just look at the 16. They'll play 16 straight games after the All-Star break, Tommy, against teams that are not currently above 500. And a bunch of those games are at home. Like, take care of business. And we'll look specifically at the Boston series tomorrow. Again, they're off today. But it is this should time out nicely for the Royals to be aggressive, at least like I want them to be at the trade deadline. And then let's go. It's going to be awesome in the fall. Well, late summer, I guess I should say. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. It'll be busy in the second hour because we've got Tim Fitzgerald. Go PowerCat.com. He'll jump on, talk K-State, what else he's seen at Big 12 Media Days. Curious for his take on all of it. And then we'll get Brandon Zinner in. I try to connect with him on a flight change, because I want to hear what he learned about KU football. What else besides Jalen Daniels is being talked about there as it comes to KU? That's all coming in hour number two. Another giveaway for you, NBC World Series tickets. Don't go away. All Brock and Caster Sports Daily, halfway home on a Thursday.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.